I'm Dan Roberts, Director of MD Support, and I'm happy to introduce Low Vision Rehabilitation Specialist Leslie Burkhart. During the next 30 minutes, she will bring us valuable information about the value of seeking rehabilitation services and how we can avail ourselves of the many benefits of such intervention. Leslie Burkhart holds a master's degree in low vision rehabilitation. After over 30 years in the field, she credits her most valuable knowledge to the people who have generously shared their own stories about learning to live with blindness or low vision. Ms. Burkhart is the author of a visual skills workbook designed to help people who are losing their vision to maintain reading and writing skills. Thank you for joining us as we listen to Leslie Burkhart answer the important question, can low vision rehabilitation help?
Today I'd like to start by talking about how macular degeneration affects visual function. Macular degeneration can result in blank, non-seeing areas in or near the center of the retina, called the macula. The center of the macula, the fovea, is the only area on the retina that can transmit sharp, clear images to the brain. This is because the fovea has the densest concentration of nerve cells, many more nerve cells than anywhere else on the surface of the retina. It's the nerve cells that detect and transmit images to the brain. If only one eye has an area where central nerve cells are destroyed, the brain pays attention to the better eye to accomplish visual tasks. So visual function is usually only minimally affected. However, if both eyes have central blank areas, a person may notice that viewed objects can appear fuzzier and less distinct as the size of the blank area in the better eye increases, the objects appear fuzzier. Reading can take more effort and be slower. One reason for this is that any blank areas can make it more difficult when someone is trying to read to move from one word to the next in sequence. Typically, the larger the central blank area is, the sooner the eyes tire when reading. Driving may be made more difficult or even impossible in some cases. Faces can be hard to recognize, especially at distances. Objects may disappear or fade into the blank area or appear distorted. There are other ways that macular degeneration affects function. Depth perception, as well as contrast and color sensitivity, can be reduced. As a result, a person may more easily misjudge distances, and objects may appear to be faded, again, especially at a distance. Balance can be affected, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about this in a moment. About 20% or less of age-related macular degeneration cases result in blank areas near or circling the center of the retina, sometimes in an arc or a donut shape. But these blank areas don't actually block the absolute center of the retina. In these cases, people may be able to read very small print and yet notice much more difficulty reading and locating objects in their environment. Driving may be particularly difficult for people with blank areas near but not in the center of the retina. Approximately 25% of people who experience vision loss from any cause may sometimes see things that are not real. This is called Charles Bonnet syndrome. It's spelled B as in boy, O, two N's as in Nancy, E, T as in Tom. Syndromes are conditions that are related to other conditions. CBS is considered to be a syndrome because people experience hallucinations that are specifically related to vision loss. This is not considered to be any sort of mental disorder. Rather, it's related to the disruption of the complex interaction between the brain and the eyes that is used to create the images that we perceive as reality. These images usually are not controllable, but the person who experiences them is usually very much aware that the images are not real. The images are most likely to occur when vision has recently changed. Usually, they are of short duration. They can be brightly colored, highly detailed, animated images of all sorts of objects, including people, animals, and flowers. They are only visual. They cannot be heard or touched. They typically do not respond to any sorts of medications, but people may be more at risk for seeing these images due to the side effects of some medications. Sometimes increasing sensory information from your outside environment will cause the images to disappear, perhaps by talking out loud or clapping your hands. However, some people comment that these images actually can be quite fascinating and interesting when they occur. Macular degeneration may also disrupt something called sensory integration. All of the senses support and confirm one another. When vision changes, the other senses need time to readjust and adapt to the change. People may feel that they are not hearing or remembering as well because their vision is not supporting these functions in the same way as before. Disruption of sensory integration is one reason that balance may be poorer. Vision is often used sort of as an early warning system, detecting and analyzing bumps or uneven pavement. Your balance system is already preparing to compensate for a bump even before your foot touches it. When the vision is fuzzier, this early warning system may not be as accurate. Usually, it's helpful for a person to be aware of the different ways that central retinal problems can affect function. The better you are aware of these different things, the better you're able to learn ways to compensate and function better. Most of you listening to this presentation will have the most common form of macular degeneration, which is age-related macular degeneration. It's important to understand that this condition typically does not progress to total blindness. At its worst, AMD typically affects the center 25% of the total surface of the retina. People very rarely lose the vision needed to locate objects in their environment, such as a chair or a table, and in good light, they can move around very well. A person with severe macular degeneration may amaze their friends and family by easily detecting a small bit of carpet lint or the movement of a coin as it falls onto the floor. In fact, an unidentified problem for some people may even be, I can't convince the people in my life that I actually have a serious vision impairment. So how can low vision rehabilitation help? Low vision rehabilitation educates people about vision loss and helps them to assess, regain, and reprioritize function that has been limited by vision loss. Notice here that I'm not saying that rehab will help to regain vision per se, only that it may help you to regain visual function that has been affected by the vision loss. An eye care doctor is responsible for helping a person to maintain or regain eyesight as much as possible. And that's why it's important that if you're seeing a low vision rehabilitation specialist, that you also continue to see your regular eye care doctor or your retinal specialist. low vision rehabilitation helps a person learn ways to function better with remaining vision and to use other senses and abilities to accomplish tasks in better ways. The LVR specialist may be an optometrist, an ophthalmologist, an occupational therapist, or a technician, but all should have special training specifically in low vision rehabilitation techniques. The low vision rehabilitation team may include an eye doctor who provides the LVR exam to determine what prescriptive devices may be necessary and also help to create an overall rehabilitation plan. The LVR specialist may both introduce and help people learn how to use devices, techniques, and other resources for achieving personal goals. An orientation and mobility specialist, these specially trained people help to regain travel skills and reduce risks of falls. Psychosocial services, psychologists, social workers, and support groups to help you cope with the emotional and social changes of adapting to vision loss. Some of my clients tell me that the psychosocial aspects of adapting to vision loss are as important, if not sometimes more important, than learning functional ways to adapt to vision loss. The value of seeking LVR services. Adapting to vision loss may be one of the biggest challenges that a person will face in the course of his or her life. A large array of constantly changing devices and therapies exist that may or may not be right for you. You, your family and friends may be confused or make inaccurate assumptions as to how to help due to lack of experience with both vision loss and the devices that help a person adapt to vision loss. Honestly, I have difficulty keeping up with all of the devices that are introduced in this particular field. This sometimes can be both frustrating and time-consuming if you're trying to do it on your own. The LVR specialist can help guide you through the process of making choices that will work best for you. Here are some questions you should ask when shopping for LVR. If you have more than one service option in your area, you may find that services vary from place to place. Pick the service that best fits you as a person and the things that you want to be doing in your life. How many appointments will be needed? Are transportation or home visits provided? Always ask about fees and device refund policies prior to committing to an LVR service. Are any fees covered by funding sources such as medical insurers, Medicare, or for veterans of the armed services, the Veterans Administration may have LVR services available. In most states, a federal program provides Title VII Chapter 2 benefits for people with vision loss over the age of 55 years. These benefits are designed to keep seniors with vision loss living independently in their own home. Be an active consumer. Your eye doctor will help you make choices that are best for you. Also, ask about what is available from the prospective LVR service. Some LVR services offer prescription eyeglasses exams and selection, and some may not. Many ready-made LVR devices are available, and these can sometimes be less expensive options than prescription devices. Will your LVR service be showing you these types of devices? Do they offer computer access assessment and instruction? Computer access is becoming a more important goal for more people who are using computers to shop and communicate with family and friends. If you particularly want to be introduced to the new Apple iPad, well, ask your LVR service, do you have an Apple iPad that I can try out? Is visual skills education and training offered? This training makes sure that you are using the vision that you have as efficiently as possible. LVR specialists can make you aware of better ways to visually locate and identify objects in your environment. Orientation and mobility instruction can be another important skill for the person who needs to move around in their home safely and efficiently, or even to cross an intersection, catch a bus, or feel more comfortable traveling with friends or family members. Does your LVR service additionally offer community resource information and access to psychosocial services so that you are better aware of what types of help are available in your community? What can be expected at your first visit? Be prepared to be an active member of the LVR team. Think beforehand of the things that bug you about your vision loss that you would like to improve. This will be your own personal roadmap. Bring to your appointment eyeglasses, any current low vision devices, samples of hobbies, low vision product advertisements that you may want to try or need more information about. You may also want to bring a list of any other goals and questions that you may have. Improving visual function. Again, please remember, unlike a typical focusing problem like nearsightedness or farsightedness, which can be easily corrected with eyeglasses, no LVR device or therapy makes vision sharper overall. Visual low vision rehab options make viewed objects appear larger, bolder, and increase object background contrast to make objects stand out from their backgrounds. This can make them easier to see. Typically, print that is about 2 to 3 times larger than the smallest size a person can read optimizes reading comfort. This is important to understand. Most people with average vision can read print that is much smaller than normal size print. Some people with beginning macular degeneration may be able to read normal print size that is usually about 10-point print, but can't read much smaller than this. This person may notice that large print books, which are usually 20-point print, about twice as large as normal, are easier to read, or regular size print is easier with a magnifier that makes the print 2 times bigger. This is about the power of most commercially available magnifiers. They're usually about 2x in power. But more magnification than that usually won't make the print any easier to read than that. And again, even with ideal print size or magnification, the person with macular degeneration still will notice that they're reading more slowly and with more effort than they used to. That blank area in the center of the retina disrupts a person's ability to read even when reading is optimized. Usually, when people first have vision loss from macular degeneration, they assume that some sort of eyeglasses will be the easiest way to regain visual function. Actually, for the vast majority of people, head-mounted magnification is generally more difficult to use than other types of magnifiers. Explore your options carefully by actually trying out devices for the tasks that you need to accomplish to better ensure the effectiveness of the device you select. An LVR specialist can make sure that you get an appropriate power of magnifier, not too weak, not too strong, and an appropriate style of magnifier, whether it's spectacle-mounted magnifiers that resemble eyeglasses, or handheld magnifiers, or electronic magnification devices. Here are some examples of options that may improve visual function. Handheld lighted magnifiers may be useful for spot reading tasks and possibly for longer reading tasks depending upon the extent of the AMD. The light in the magnifiers can make an enormous difference in the readability of print, and the new handheld magnifiers have very bright LED lights that can make a big difference in readability. These handheld lighted magnifiers are probably the most common types of magnifiers that are used by people with low vision. Desktop video magnification systems, these are also sometimes called CCTVs, may increase reading comfort compared to lens magnifiers and be the most useful for writing tasks. These allow any print to be adjusted to the ideal viewing size. Poor contrast reading like muddy gray newspaper print can be adjusted so it's dark black print on a bright white background, or reversed so that the print is white and the background is black. One of the other benefits of these is that they are the most ergonomically comfortable way for a person to access print. A person can sit up straight with the viewing screen up close and at eye level. The closer a person gets to an object, the larger it appears. This up-close rule is why people with low vision frequently prefer desktop computer systems over laptop computer systems. It's easier to arrange a desktop monitor so that it is close to the person's face. When talking about the desktop video magnification systems, it's so important to try them out. They can be very expensive, and I know people who have purchased them who couldn't live without them. And I also know people who have purchased them and they have sat and collected dust. So it's really important that you try the device out for the particular task that you're going to be using it for, to see if it's something that you truly will be using in your life. Sitting closer to the TV also makes the TV image appear larger. Telescopes make objects at a distance appear larger. Some people use handheld or head-mounted monocular or binocular telescopes to read street signs or watch theater or TV. But for most people, sitting up closer to the TV may actually be more effective and comfortable than using spectacle-mounted telescopic binoculars to watch TV. So it's really important that your low vision rehab specialist gives you the chance to compare the two options so you can make the decision again as to what's right for you. There are many other ways to improve function. Audio or large print books for more comfortable reading, using the free Library of Congress audio book library that's available in each state in the United States, e-book readers, public library books. There are more options now than ever before, but again, it's important to explore them. Some of the readers can be complex to use. You need to learn how to use them. So again, you just want to make sure you're making the choices that are right for you. Computers phones, and other gadgets may have text-to-speech, large print, and high-contrast features that will make them easier to use. Text-to-speech devices can actually read aloud print on a display, and the synthetic voices can be very natural-sounding. You may have already heard these when you've called your bank or a mail-order company. Sometimes they can almost convince you that they're human. There are also desk lamps, talking watches, cooking aids, tinted lenses for indoor or outdoor use, transportation options, larger, simpler TV remote controls, writing guides, bold pens, stick-on bumps to mark appliance controls, audio note-taking recorders, and many more items. The devices that you choose will depend on who you are and your particular targeted tasks. Okay, after telling you all this, I must admit it. Low vision rehab can be lots of work. Neurologically, vision loss can be one of the most intense adaptations that a person makes in life. In many ways, rehabilitation is about learning to live life in new and different ways so that a person is able to continue doing the tasks that are important to that person, or learn new ways to make life more meaningful. People may approach this task formally or informally, and may even choose a do-it-yourself approach. But reinventing the wheel is not always easy, so usually it's helpful to seek out people who, in one way or another, have been there and done that and can give you helpful guidance. Here are other ways that may help you to adjust better to low vision. Organize and simplify your life environment. This may be as minor as cleaning out and rearranging a utensil drawer in your kitchen, or as major as moving to a less complicated living environment. Explore what works best for you personally. Low vision product catalogs can be good idea books, but if possible, discuss possibilities with an LVR specialist or your local support group before you order anything. Learn to foster healthy interdependent relationships with family, friends, or paid assistants. Sometimes it takes only specific assistance, such as having someone to help shop or read and respond to mail once a week, to keep you in a life environment that's comfortable for you. Finally, it's so important to remember that everyone adapts to vision loss in his or her own way. Work toward what makes you happy. Your decisions will depend on who you are, the tasks you want or need to do, and your surrounding environment. Be patient and kind to both yourself and your family and friends. It typically can be a big transition for most people. Pay attention to how you're feeling. If you become overwhelmed, let somebody you trust know about it. Take time out along your way to smell the roses. Take a deep breath, stretch and rub, catnap, enjoy a mug of something warm and soothing, and purposely take time to think good thoughts if things get too frustrating, so that you can enjoy the journey as you travel along your way. Thanks very much for your time today, and best wishes for a bon voyage.